The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. People are big mad on the YouTube stream, gang. B-I-G-M-A-D. Packers outsider. So you can't have a single shred of optimism without being called delusional. Fun world we live in. Angel saying, crazy how everyone thinks the Eagles are this juggernaut team. They are good, but definitely beatable. He continues by saying, y'all think the Packers are bums. Top 10 defense and offense. For the record, since listening comprehension seems to be at an all-time low, we don't think the Packers are bums. We don't think the Packers are a bad team. We think the Packers are a good team. We think the Packers have underperformed this season, have not played to their potential, and have struggled against teams that they needed to beat in order to be considered a great team, which Chewy has reminded us is who wins Super Bowls and who wins playoff games. Great teams make runs. Could the Packers beat the Eagles? A resounding yes from the panel. Do we think they will? A resounding no from everybody except Josh DiMaggio. Joshy looked at me and was like, hey, get this right. You better get this right.
You can call me Joshy comment section for the rest of the day because I'm joining the YouTube commenters and the texters for the rest of the day.
That's fine.
Chew, is that an accurate and fair way to articulate our position here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
Yeah, you can't fight with toads, you know, because they can't see past their nose, which is fine. They're fans. You have that right. But like I said, I want to be right. I want to be right. And that's why I picked the Eagles to win. They're a better team all around. They're playing at home, one of the toughest places to play in the National Football League. Packers are not hot. They're not playing hot. You cannot base your prediction for this game on something they did 18 games ago. You know, you just can't do that. That's not how it works, people. Okay? When we went into Dallas all those years, probably to a man, we were like, we have to play the absolutely perfect game. The ball has to go our way. We have to win the turnover margin by a good number, and then we'll win. That's exactly what this game is on Sunday. You line up head-to-head, they're going to beat you. You don't get breaks, they're going to beat you. If the Packers play great and the Eagles don't, Packers will win. That's how it works. That's how it works. So if you're not going to buy into that, I can't do anything for you, okay? But once again, I'll say it. This isn't a cheerleader show. We're not cheerleaders. You need a cheerleader show to feel good. This is an analyst show. We give you what we think.
Okay, true.
We hope we're wrong.
We've already told you, bud. Like...
narrator.
What did I say
this
instead
is not
of
an analyst show.
I mean, I don't know, man, but like you're trying to tell us this is an analyst show. You tried to tell Craig that he pays you to be right. Like this is
what a misstep that was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're a life coach.
We get paid
show.
To
That's
be
what
right.
What? We're here to help you.
I think what? That we're paid to entertain. That's what we are paid for.
Help us help you.
Gabe. You didn't help yourself. Like, we're trying to go after Craig because he placed a bet on the Packers, and then you say something more delusional that you get paid to be right.
Here's an interesting thing to me that I've discovered is Gabe and I have very similar feelings on this Packers team. Our expectations were actually the same. NFC Championship game is probably the ceiling. But I think I've approached it very different, and it seems like to the rest of the room, where it seems like people are feeling you aren't positive enough, even though you're saying, yes, we can win. Yes, they're better than they were. Yes, there's all these signs pointing there. And I don't know how we can more effectively communicate that, because every time we get on and talk about it, it's like, hey, everyone, the Packers stink. And that's not what any of you guys mean.
No, it's I've pointed out a lot of things that have happened in games this year that would prevent them, like, if they repeat some of those mistakes that I have pointed out, like, again, famously going back to the Seahawks game that everybody loved, if you have a stretch of what they did in the start of that second half, you're not going to win this game against the Eagles. Just, you have to avoid that. And honestly, in order to win this game, I also did some digging on Love, by the way. Like, he was playing just so much better football last year at this point in the last eight games going in. It's just, it's astounding to me how much better he was a year ago. And he's still playing fine now. It's just he was so much hotter a year ago.
Well, give us the metrics. What did you crunch? You got some numbers
there. Last eight games last year, 70.3% completion, 2,150 yards, 18 touchdowns, and an interception. Also had two rushing TDs. This year, 65.4% completion. That's down 5%. 1,569 yards, which is down, you know, roughly 600 yards. 10 touchdowns, down 8. Same number of interceptions, just the one. 55 rushes and a touchdown. Like, he's not playing as well. He's not as sharp.
You do have to factor in how much different the offensive attack is. It's much more.
Sure.
As good as Aaron Jones was those final two games in the regular season. I'm saying into the postseason,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
So three games in the regular season, because it was five games in a row with 100 yards or more.
I do think, I mean, Josh Jacobs has scored a touchdown in how many of
eight? Is it eight or nine?
Eight straight games.
Yeah, which I don't think anyone on the offense was doing that last year. I haven't looked up those numbers. But I do think there is a little bit of that you have to factor in. And I think that's what's discouraging to people, because you didn't mention, with that, obviously, the run game is better.
Well, sure, again, but still, with Jordan last year, in that stretch, like, he still threw for over 250 yards. Like, in games. Okay, so you can take... Okay, so he's not going to throw for 300 yards because the run game's so good. It has to be better than 185, 182, 206.
And Jordan was playing at a high level, and in some ways, as we talk about all the time, him in the passing game being as elite as it was opened up opportunities for Aaron Jones. This year's team feels, unfortunately, more one-dimensional, and part of that is the absence of Christian Watson. So it is going to be a different-looking offense than we have seen when they have had their full gamut of talent out there offensively. But I keep saying to you guys, if you're the Eagles and you have one of the best defenses in the league and the Packers have Josh Jacobs and the goal is to take away what they do well, that's what they're going to go after first, guys, because thus far Jordan Love hasn't shown that he and his pass catchers can pick up that slack. And when you take Christian Watson out of the mix and the ability to stretch the field, you become so much more one-dimensional. Again, assuming they take away Josh Jacobs. And that's where I just start getting pessimistic. That's where I start getting realistic, I think, about how this offense is going to look on Sunday against the Eagles.
The one big thing I've noticed is different, you mentioned it, was the completion percentage. Jordan's accuracy not as good as it was last year at this point of the season. Also, do you remember Romeo Doubs just running wide open like four times against the Cowboys? And I feel like I haven't seen one of those, like, in terms of play calling.
Well, but I also feel that goes back to what Jen was talking about in the different running style they have this year. I honestly think it's kind of harder for them. A staple of this play. How many times did we see before Josh Jacobs got here? And again, this is not a criticism. This is just an observation. Before Josh Jacobs was the Packers' main running back, they would run the stretch play, trying to stretch out. And all of a sudden, the quarterback boots out left, and there's the tight end, little flip past the tight end, and nobody's on that side of the field, and it's an easy 12 to 14 yards. Like, that play has been missing, and they haven't, for whatever reason, been able to marry the success that Josh Jacobs has had into a lot more success with the passing game. They just haven't been able to marry those two things together the way they married Aaron Jones' success with the pass game a year ago.
Plus, they had two hang your hat wins. So they had confidence. You beat the Super Bowl champs, and then you beat Detroit.
You beat the division champs. Yep.
You haven't had a hang your hat win, and you had two of them. And let me tell you what, confidence is huge going into the playoffs. It's absolutely huge. So
a huge element.
You can't fake confidence. Yeah, you can't fake confidence. You either have it or you don't.
Well, and that was the more crazy thing. One of the more crazy things that Craig said, which was they beat the teams they were supposed to beat. At some point, you're supposed to beat the teams in your division as well.
But until they didn't, because they were supposed to beat the Bears.
Excellent point.
Yes.
We got to take a break. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. Adam Schefter, of course, will give us a spin around the league and tell us what he thinks about the Packers' chances in the game against the Eagles this weekend. Stick around.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times in one season.
It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
Our chat's with Adam Schefter, brought to you by Island Resort and Casino, premier resort destination, largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
Adam Schefter, good morning, happy Friday. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. How are we doing today?
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? I'm sorry about your dog. Yeah. I'm really sorry that happened. That's a really tough thing to deal with, and we appreciate you taking the time today to join us in light of that. We are getting crushed this morning, Adam, by some of our loyal listeners who I think understand the show but are mishearing us. We do not think the Packers are a bad team. We do not think they are a bunch of bums. We actually think they're a good team, as evidenced by the fact that they are in the postseason and have won a lot of games this year. However, we do feel like they are going to get rolled this weekend or lose this weekend to the Philadelphia Eagles. Is there anything you could tell us that would change our minds in that space?
Yeah, we had this debate yesterday. Again, it's a tough matchup, and Philly's a really good team, okay? But if you remember last year, the Packers were underdogs in the wild card round by 7.5 points in Dallas. And they went in there and rolled the Cowboys, an NFC East team. Now, I think they're 4.5 point underdogs to another NFC East team. So the odds makers actually give the Packers a better chance this year than they gave them last year when the Packers rolled the Dallas Cowboys. How's that for just a little bit of hope there, Jen?
Chew, would you care, Adam, to respond?
Got anything from this year?
Adam, you will agree, because I believe you were there when Denver was the wild card when we played them in 97. And that was a big spread, and they steamrolled us. And the reason why they did that is because they were hot. The Packers have lost the last two games, have not looked good. They lost their best receiver. They lost their best corner. I mean, it's different than last year because they had two marquee wins. They beat Kansas City, the eventual Super Bowl champion at home, and then they beat Detroit. They don't have a hang-your-hat win this year, and that's why we don't think they're going to win.
That's fair. I understand that. I understand the skepticism and the doubts. And I think it's much better for a team to head into the postseason with good wins, convincing wins, rather than two losses. That's not how you want to go into the postseason. Is Christian Watson their best receiver? I don't know. You tell me. I mean, he's their best deep threat, right? Like, is he their best receiver? You tell me.
He was their most productive receiver since the bye before his injury. Nearly 77 yards per game.
And I know Jair, that's obviously a loss too. So it's two key players. Like, whether Christian Watson is their best receiver or not, he's a key player. He's a really good player. It's hard. Like, it's not going to be a good match. They're going to have to go in there and get like three turnovers and get like a big special teams play. One of those kind of games, right? Where all of a sudden you get contributions in ways that you don't always get, that certain elements, aspects, units come through that you really need. Like, they can't go in there and lose the turnover battle and win the game. It's not going to happen.
Adam, when it comes to a lot of these head coaching openings, we talked to you throughout the course of the season. Were you surprised that there are only six openings, three after the season ended? And then were you surprised at all in the manner in which it happened? Like the Patriots doing it immediately on Sunday, and then we see the Raiders waiting a couple of days before they fire their coach and then wait a couple more days before firing their GM.
These things, this is a wild league, and I'm not going to explain, you know, how each team operates. Everybody's different. Every owner's different. Every group's different. We've got six so far, by the way. Like, we still don't know exactly what's going to happen in Dallas. That's still unsettled. That's a potential seventh, whether it happens or not. And then the idea is there going to be a playoff team that crashes and burns that all of a sudden makes a coaching change that we didn't see coming? I just raise it because it's happened before.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not saying it will happen. Chances are it won't, but it has. So we're sitting on six changes. There's a potential seventh in Dallas. There's a potential seventh in the postseason. We don't know. But if it's, by the way, I'd be very happy if it stopped at six. Like, that's enough. It's enough. We don't need any more.
Stop at six?
Yeah. Is
oh, thank you. Yeah.
Is there a chance, Adam, that the NFL ever looks at, and the Packers haven't been affected this year, but I know, I mean, teams are affected. Even if you know, are a team, like Brian Flores, for example, saying he's going to accept any and all interviews. That's got to be really hard to compartmentalize if you're an OC, DC, if you're getting all this attention for head coaching jobs while also still prepare your team to the best of your ability for a postseason game. I know it's really hard to do, but has the NFL ever talked about trying to change the timeline and wait for all of this? You can fire your coach now, but no interviews, no requesting until after teams are done and you're out of the postseason.
Well, this has always been a huge issue. You're talking about coaches that have worked their entire life to put themselves in a position to become a head coach and finally have that opportunity. And it comes at a time where they're preparing for the biggest games of a season in which it became possible for them to achieve the biggest goals of their life. Like, mm-hmm. they all come together all at once. And it's unfortunate. But that's how it's always been. And the league has tried to revise the rules and slow down the process. And it's never simple, easy, or truly clean. There's no way. Like, again, the Lions have a bye. They have a bye.
Mm-hmm.
So they're preparing for their divisional playoff game. And it's not as hectic and hairy, but it's still, there's a certain degree of intensity. Like Aaron Glenn with the Jets last night, the Saints this morning, the Raiders this afternoon, the Jaguars tomorrow morning, the Bears tomorrow night. How much work do you think he's getting done for the divisional playoff game?
Not much.
Ben Johnson with the Patriots this morning, the Raiders this afternoon, the Bears tomorrow morning, the Jaguars tomorrow. How much work he getting done in the next 2 days for next week? But you know what? In all honesty, these guys have earned that right. That's their right. The hard part is the guys that are in the playoffs now. Brian Flores, Liam Cohn, Kellen Moore. I'm just thinking of other guys like that. But Spagnuolo in a similar position got three interviews today. Again, the league has just changed the process to where it's slowed it down. And it used to be, I'm just telling you, I've covered the league for 35 years. And maybe you remember this, Chewy, but it used to be that by divisional playoff weekend, most of the head coach openings were filled because there was a sprint. There was a sprint from the time the regular season ended to get the interviews done, to get the guys hired, to get them hired so you could start hiring the assistant coaches and get the assistant coaches you wanted before someone else got those assistant coaches. And it used to be that the hirings were done by the divisional playoff round in general. And now you can't even meet with guys face-to-face until after the divisional playoff round. So it's slowed down all the way around.
Adam, I saw that Jalen Hurts is still in the concussion protocol, but he was a full participant in practice. How does that work? You have to be a full participant in order to clear the concussion protocol? Is that like the final frontier? Is that the final step? And you think he'll be rusty having not played for all these weeks? Again, clinging to some hope that perhaps the Packers can find a way to win this game.
I think there'll be a little bit of rust. I think maybe they'll ramp up the game plan as it goes along. You know, it's not the way you want to head into the postseason, and maybe there's some hope there for the Green Bay Packers. That you just don't know how Jalen's going to come out, if he's going to be rusty. And maybe they can get an early pick or a fumble or something to that effect. I think they'll be effective. But I think it's only a matter of time before he's right back into the flow of the game. That'd be my guess. But we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Adam, if the Eagles do lose, would Sirianni be on the chopping block with all the drama that happened early in the season between his relationship with Hurts and himself?
Here's what I would say, Chewy. I would say any coach who has a bad playoff loss, questions are going to come up. You could apply it in a lot of places, right? Like, do I look at Nick Sirianni in trouble today? No. Do I think that if all of a sudden the Packers go in there and smack the Eagles, that fans are going to be calling? Of course, that's going to happen, right? Like, that's like, remember last year the Packers went into Dallas. They smacked around the Cowboys, and even on the broadcast, Greg Olsen's defending Mike McCarthy. Remember that?
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you, when you lose big playoff games, people are upset. And that's why I say there's always the possibility that there could be a surprise, unexpected playoff firing that we're not talking and thinking about now that always could come into play if a team lays an egg in the postseason. You pick the place.
What do you think is going to happen with McCarthy?
I think they're going to try to figure it out. I think you'd like to think that they'll figure out a way to get it done. I don't think it's a given, and it could go either which way. I mean, but here's what I would say. You're the Cowboys, and you deny permission for him to talk to the Bears. You can't do it. Not allowed. Like, why would you do that if you don't have some intent on trying to get a deal done with the guy? Like, that makes no sense, right? Like, if you have no intent on getting a deal, good. Then you know what, Mike? Thank you for everything. This team called. Let's see if we can get it work out. But you can go talk to them. But they didn't do that. And he can talk to them next week anyway if he wants, if there's no deal in place.
So at halftime of which game is Jerry going to announce that he has a deal with McCarthy? Because he's going to do it. He's going to do it. If it happens, it's happening this weekend during the game so the Cowboys can get in the news cycle while everybody's watching football, right?
I mean, you know, yeah, what I would say, that they're always in the news cycle. Like, we don't need to get the deal done.
Yeah, because Jerry does stuff like this to make sure they're in the news cycle.
But you know, look, their recent pattern has been no rush. Dak gets a deal done on the opening day of the season. CeeDee Lamb gets a deal done later in the summer. You know, they don't rush to do these things. They get them done when they have to get them done. And the time to get a deal done with Mike McCarthy, if they're going to get it done, would be this week and early next week. So they're on the clock.
Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us. I think one of the more interesting things that you mentioned there was that if the Eagles were to lose to the Packers, that would be considered a bad loss for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Just like,
it
like,
would, right?
Yeah.
Extrapolate what you will, Packers fans, from that information. Extrapolate what you will from that statement. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one.
Jen, let me extrapolate. They're the home favorites. The Eagles have had a great season, right? Like, any loss at home to anybody, that's not a shot at the Packers.
No. But I'm trying to say, like, again, I think that there are Packers fans out there who believe that the Packers are on the same tier as the Eagles. And I would make the argument that if they were on the same tier and the Packers went in there and beat the Eagles, it wouldn't be considered a bad loss. Even if it's at home, even with the seating shaking out as it is, I think it is a referendum on just the gap between the Eagles and the Packers right now. That's all.
I also would say there have been times this season where the Packers have played at the Eagles' level. They haven't done it recently. It's up to them to go do it this weekend.
We're just trying to take heat off of us and throw it onto you, Adam. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Will you be our shield?
Let's just say it for what it is, right?
I've had a crappy enough week. Leave me alone, man.
Yeah.
That's not what I was trying to do at all, but I feel like we have to present a unified front, so my bad, Adam. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Adam Schefter and our conversations with him each and every week, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination. The largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location, visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do.
On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
He meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Whether you're a local who wants wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, you can enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. Deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, so you can enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Reach You.
Pretty excited about this. Haven't gotten to play Week in Reach You in quite some time. So, guys, what do you got?
We've got five questions for you, big guy. All things you said throughout the course of the week, and we quiz you on how well you remember things you said. Five questions. Get three right, you win. Get three wrong, you lose. You've never swept or been swept yourself. So you've never gotten five right. You've never gotten five wrong. So it always ends up being pretty tight at the end. Are you ready to play, Chew?
Yes.
Question one starts with the audio.
For people to apologize to me and Gabe for being called Debbie Downers. That's all I want.
What were your other two demands that went with the apology from the fans?
This feels tough.
It's got to be someone to be fired. No?
No, it was not.
Well, then I have no idea.
Packers win on Sunday, and it warms up in Florida. You wanted a Packers
right
win,
now.
Warm in Florida, and for an apology.
I'm freezing. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Also,
though,
part of it is inherently contradictory, because if they win, nobody's going to be apologizing to you guys on Monday.
All right, off to a rough start. Went 3-and-out on the first drive. Let's see if we can score on this one. Who were you talking about in this clip?
Stop dressing like you're 22 years old. Dress like you're Evan. The age you are. Cone.
That's
Edwin
correct.
Edwin Korn.
That's correct. Yes. Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike.
You know what, though? And I don't want to take him out, but I'm kind of going to. He's sensitive. Would you guys agree with that?
You know the approach that Joshy took during our conversation with Craig Karmazin earlier today? I'm going to follow that lead on Evan.
Gabe.
Gabe,
you haven't had my back this week, and it's a little disappointing.
I've had
it
your back.
It is a little disappointing.
I've had
your
back.
No, Jen, did he call me out big time yesterday or the day before?
Which, for what?
No. It was more about how other people were slow versus, like, you.
Pretty sure that's a takeout.
That was a takeout of the other guy.
He took out at the knees,
do you know
too.
How many times he has mentioned this week that you had 100 in Madden? At least twice. That is not somebody who is taking you out. That is somebody who is lifting you up.
Jen, that's called suck-up mode.
The only time I did not have your back is when you said Evan was in his 50s. That is the only time I have not had your back this week.
And Craig employs us to be right.
Well, yeah. Well, that was just, I mean, I was just having his, I had his back there just to correct him so he doesn't lose his job. So Craig then changes his mind to go, yeah, I should pay Chewy because he's right. And then Chewy's out of a job.
Are we really here to entertain?
Somebody didn't get the objective.
I want to have your back here, Chew, but you're not letting me have your back.
It's because it comes so naturally.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say, Joshy. Look at you and me in lockstep.
He might
that's
not
exactly,
even know he's doing
it's
it.
It's all subconscious.
He's never known he's doing it. He's been doing it for a decade plus, man.
All right, can we
entertain
continue?
Entertaining to me is like fake in a movie and stuff like that. We're not fake. We're real.
That's why it's so good, Chew.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep
moving
it going.
On.
Okay, so you're 1-1. Pivotal game 3 right now starts with the audio clip.
Dust. Once again, information that would have helped me earlier.
What is the information
that
would have been helpful this weekend? What was the information that would have been helpful specifically this weekend?
Oh, is it about the text?
Something Jen said. What, the butt?
Why would it have anything
said
about the butt been helpful?
He just wanted to say it.
Because you can tell how I rank the...
Let's not go further.
Okay.
I don't think he knows it.
It was something that Jen said, though.
Do you remember what you told him that made him react like that, Jen?
I thought it was about the text.
He
could look up at the top and see that there were more people than just the one recipient on the text. That's what I thought it was.
No, it's that you can delete sent text messages.
Yes.
You guys got to show me how to do that.
Now, when you're back here, we'll give you the tutorial.
0% chance he remembers to ask.
I'll remember to show him. I mean, he's not going to remember after I teach him, but I'll remember to show him at least. Okay. So he'll be armed with the information. All right, big guy.
It's not going well.
You got to get the last two right to win this week. Question four starts with the audio.
Might have been his best movie.
Ah, jeez. Who was the comedy actor that you were referencing in that clip?
Will Ferrell, The Campaign.
He knew the movie as well. Good job, Chew.
Extra credit.
You wish.
He should get this one.
All right. Can you stay hot and win this week by answering this question correctly? Let's start with the audio.
This is, you know what? You know how they win the game other than turnovers?
How do the Packers win on Sunday?
I believe I said two C players have to play like A players. Which is pretty much what Adam said.
Okay, that's not what you said in this specific instance.
He did say that.
He did say that throughout the course of the week.
To be fair, he said this other thing way more.
Okay.
Give it to me one more time. This is, you know what? You know how they win the game? Other than turnovers? Coaching?
Oh, you're close.
Yeah!
Coaching?
He nailed it.
You're going to give it to him?
The floor out coaches Sirianni.
That counts.
That's a victory there, buddy.
That could be a sign because I was getting worked early and then battled my way back, and McManus hit a 52-yard field goal.
I feel like we had to wrap our arms around you and drag you into the end zone with
but
us.
But that counts as a touchdown.
But it still counts as a touchdown.
On the Chewy graded curve, that's a win.
Of course it is.
What are you saying?
And that's a compliment. No, don't read it. Don't you hear it any other way, big guy. Don't you hear that any other way than it building you up once again. Guys, what are we doing?
He only gets mad when I don't have his back.
Potawatomi Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all the sports bettors out there. You can use your Potawatomi Rewards card at most self-service kiosks. Gosh darn it. Forgot that last night when I made my bet for the team that won the game the game.
I'll be there tomorrow morning doing a extra edition of the weekly wager with Alex Stroff. So you need to be put in the bet. I got you.
All right, let me think about it. I got to give you my rewards card though, because that's the point. You can bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Why?
This is Chewy and I's new Packer song.
Yeah, what's happened since you guys decided to do this?
We're turning it around.
Hey.
Team's 0-2. We leave you. You know how much we love Palermo's Pizza here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And with all the football happening today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, you're going to want to have Palermo's in your freezer. And the best thing about Palermo's is all the brands that they have. So they have a slice that fits your appetite. I'm talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy, Screaming Sicilian. How do they do this? Well, they've been doing it for 60 years right here in Wisconsin, so they know a thing or two when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
Joshy is clearly trying to reverse curse. He's trying to do a reverse curse this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're seeing a lot of slander for Christian Watson on the YouTube stream in the comments. And it is saying that Christian Watson hasn't always been available and the team has done fine without him. But the numbers back up that the team is better, the offense is better when Christian Watson is on the field. Gabe, what did you find?
Yeah, I think that's a narrative more for last year. This year, he's been their most important receiver. In the five games that he was healthy after the bye, he was averaging 77.4 yards per game for the Packers, which is far and away the most production that any receiver had in those five games. Everybody else was falling off while Christian Watson was starting to hit his stride before that injury against New Orleans.
So there are other numbers online that indicate that Christian Watson is the difference maker or has been the difference maker in the offense. When he is not on the field, 1.3 yards per route run, 2.4% explosive play per route for the Green Bay Packers. Those rank 13th in the league and 19th in the league, respectively. Compare that to when he is on the field, 1.67 yards per route run and 3.7 explosive play per route. Both of those rank first in the league. So when Watson is on the field, the offense is more dynamic. It is better. He obviously will not be on the field this week against the Philadelphia Eagles, which brings me to my next point, guys. Figure for all of the people who are saying that we have been negative, for all of the people saying Johnny Raincloud has spread to the rest of us, we thought we would put together a recipe for victory. A recipe for victory for the Green Bay Packers this week in Philadelphia. Chewy, we begin with yours, which is two C players have to play like A players. Who? Does it matter who? Or you got people in mind that you would like to see elevate their game a couple of notches in order for them to win?
I would say Keyshawn, not from a corner standpoint, but from a returner standpoint. And then one of those receivers, Heath, Melton, one of the peripheral guys, has to have a big game. Has to have. Because, I mean, you're going up against the number one defense, okay? Slay's a good corner, right? So he's going to be covering Dobbs. Jaden Reed is kind of a Swiss Army knife receiver, but he does some nice things in the backfield with the ball. So, but I think one of those peripheral receivers has to have one touchdown, 90-yard game in order for them to win.
That is one thing that we have on the recipe for victory. I also have takeaways on this list. Win the turnover margin by two. You got to take the ball away. You got to limit the amount of time that the Eagles are on the field, I believe, and keep Saquon Barkley at bay. But the takeaways will go a long way, and that will be a big factor if you can win the turnover margin by two. Gabe, what do you have?
Jordan Love's got to be the best quarterback in the game. I don't know if that necessarily means he needs to have 300 yards, because I feel like the way the Packers win this game is it's lower scoring, like lower 20s. You start getting to the upper 20s and 30s. With no Christian Watson, I think it gets tough for the Packers to get to 30, but he has to play better than Jalen Hurts.
Does he have to play his best game of the season? You were crunching the numbers. Miami, 75% completion percentage, 274 with two tutties, 74 against, I believe it was, Seattle, 74%, 229, and the two touchdowns as well. Does he have to play his best game of the season for them to win this one?
I think the two touchdowns is the big part there. Two touchdowns, no turnovers. Can't be turning the ball over, but you still have to find a way to get those explosive plays.
And please spy, please spy Jalen Hurts. Please just spy him.
It's funny you mention that. The Packers have done a lot of spying, and they've been pretty good at it. And that brings in Edgerrin Cooper, who, to me, has been one of the better linebackers in all of the NFL through the second half of this season here. I think he needs to continue that and be the best player on defense throughout, like, the entire weekend.
Better than Jalen Carter.
I mean, you can even extend this to other teams. He needs to be that good. And, if you watch his run stops, there are so many of them. And to stop Saquon Barkley, you have to get some tackles for loss or tackles for nothing. Because he'll take you for 3 yards every single time. And that's not a recipe to win against them.
Chewy did say earlier in the week that Matt LaFleur needs to outcoach Nick Sirianni in order for this to be a victory for the green and gold. I will also add that I would like to see Tucker Kraft more involved in the offense. I think he can be a difference maker. Gabe, you were saying, though, that when he starts to elevate his catches, when he elevates the targets, it hasn't been a recipe for victory.
So 5 times this year he's had 4 or more catches. The Packers are only 2-3 in those games. And that also probably reflects, you know, those games where they started having to chuck it, so he has to catch it. And those are games where Josh Jacobs just hasn't been as effective.
Yeah, I'm talking about more designed plays for Tucker Kraft. Utilize his uniqueness. Go ahead, Chew.
Do you guys want to see a fake punt or a fake field goal? This is the game to do it.
Hey, last game of the year. Can't hold anything back.
Rich doesn't have that in his bag.
Why? Wait, he's the 28th ranked special teams coach in the league.
Being positive.
How dare you say that?
No, they. I would love to see a trick play, Chewy. I would love to see something, because the trick play, and correct me if I'm wrong, every time I hear a former player talk about a trick play, they get giddy like children. Like a trick play that they design and put in this week that they all want to run, whether that's a fake punt, whether that's something on offense, I think is going to help loosen this team up and maybe get them back to the, hey, we just play like our hair's on fire, like nothing matters. Just play with reckless abandonment.
Basically, balls to the walls, a dang boogie boogie. We've got to win up chuck the boogie.
Hell yeah,
oh,
brother.
Up chuck. I think there will be some up chucking happening this weekend. Not from you, Dry Janua. Not from you.
Yeah.
Somebody on the talking text line in the YouTube stream says, did she just say better than Jalen Carter? He is not better than Jalen Carter. That from T. Grant. T, hello. Welcome to the program. We said he has to play better than Jalen Carter. This is the recipe for victory for the Green Bay Packers. And Joshie is saying he has to be the better player on the field on Sunday as part of our recipe for victory. I can't tell if this playing of the song means you are optimistic about them winning or you think that it's going to follow the trend.
One of two things happens. Either the Packers losing the song is banned forever, or the Packers win and we never hear the end of it.
For the record, I would like the latter to occur. I want the Packers to win. I will. Oh, I don't even know
what
I'll do.
No Todd Rundgren on Monday. Just Kid Rock.
I don't even know what I will do if we were so wrong about the Packers' chances in this game. We'll come up with something. We'll mea culpa our way through the Monday, and I will be the happiest person on the planet to do just that. Will Dean Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great weekend, everybody.